Hi everyone, Pastor Nick Tornabene, really excited to be able to come to you on this Sunday morning, April 19th message. These past few weeks have really been a challenge, haven't they? All of a sudden, we've had to deal with things that we thought we had answers for and in ways that we thought we could handle, but then just like that, we have to rethink everything again, don't we? How many times lately have you stopped and felt like you were at the end of your rope? Have you felt like you've been at the end of your rope lately? Have you felt like you just can't keep doing this anymore? Or maybe it's not just this week, lately. Maybe you can recall another time when you've just sat somewhere, exhausted mentally, even spiritually, and said, I can't take this. I think if we're honest, we can all identify with that, can't we? And if we look at the great stories, the great personalities in the Bible, we can see clearly that at one time or another, most of them had some type of huge discouragement or periods of deep depression in their life. Let's start with Job. Job, who was known as an upright man, had staggering losses and horrible pain. And it brought him to a place where he actually said, my days come to an end without hope. My eyes will never see anything good again. That's despair right there. What about Moses, one of the greatest characters of the Old Testament? He had many dark and low periods of his life. And at one point, Moses cried out, how can I bear these troubles and all these burdens all by myself? That's a dark place. Let's take Elijah, one of the greatest prophets ever, once cried out for his life to be snuffed out because he was in such a dark place. The mighty David talked about having a total loss of strength and that all he could do was groan in his soul all day long. He couldn't even speak. And we could say the same things for Jonah and Jeremiah and Nehemiah and Ezekiel and even the disciple Peter. And whether we want to admit it or not, most of us have been in that place too, haven't we? Where our thoughts and our mouth have spoken discouragement and despair. I've talked about living in the swamp in previous messages. In this fallen world, we do live in a swamp, don't we? And with having that feeling, and sometimes with the guilt or shame that goes along with that, we have this so-called notion that as Christians, we're never supposed to be depressed. Many times, if there is depression among Christian circles, well-meaning sayings and cliches just start getting thrown out and spoken. Here are a few of them. You'd be fine if you only had more faith. What about, come on, get up. What's wrong with you? Stop this pity party. Pull yourself together and stop this. Or what about this one? What will people think if they see you like this? Well-meaning people have said these things to me, and there have been occasions in my lifetime where I have said those things to others as well. And the fact of the matter is, these things, those sayings, actually push us into a deeper place. And it signals to us that unless we want to hear these cheap cliches, we had better put on a fake front and fake some happiness. However, we are not going to do that this morning. We're not going to do that. I'm going to cut to the chase and appropriately share with you what has been going on in my life. You know, I think when any of us try to take a stand for Christ. And when we try to have Christ make changes in our life, the enemy will come after us very hard. 1 Peter 5:8 says that we have an adversary, the devil, who prowls around like a roaring lion, waiting to devour us. The spiritual attacks being waged against me and my immediate family have not just been hard. They haven't just been a heavy load to bear. Instead, they have been crushing. And this has not been crushing just in these last 3 or 4 weeks of this COVID-19 pandemic. The attacks for me have been going on much, much longer than that. Please understand, this is not some poor me pity story. This is just unvarnished facts and unvarnished reality here. The events and the abuse that my family has endured just these past 9 months alone has been devastating. And oftentimes, in my well-meaning desire to fix things and to do right, I try to soldier on and I try to take care of business in a God-honoring way. But truth be told, in my own understanding, in my own wisdom, in my own power, it's too difficult. It's too difficult. It can't be done. Maybe you've heard about the concept of tensile strength. In manufacturing and in building, there's a concept called tensile strength. Tensile strength, the definition of it is this: it's the maximum stress that a material can withstand while being stretched or pulled before breaking. I am breaking on that tensile strength test. You see, everyone has to find God by themselves, don't they? No one can find God for us. So no matter how much godly head knowledge I try to give my family and to others, no matter how much godly heart knowledge I try to give my family and to others, and no matter how much I try to shield others from experiencing any type of stress or pain or uncomfortableness or even scars, the fact of the matter is this: they will never be able to find God solely through my words or my heart or through my so-called protection of them even receiving scars in the first place. Doesn't work like that. Instead, you will truly find God through your own life scars. And I've learned something very valuable just recently. I feel like God is telling me that my family and my congregation does not need to see me try to pull off some perfect life as if that was even possible. What they really need to see is my perfect God in the middle of my struggle. Others need to know that I'm authentic in Christ. Others need to know that I have been in the trenches, and I'm in the trenches right now. And in that, my prayers are that others can see God through the way I think and through the way I talk and through the way I act. And that others can experience, this is the most important thing, that others can experience God's perfect, unchanging love for themselves when they are in the middle of their own struggle. So how about you? Do you feel like you're breaking sometimes? Do you ever feel like you're at the end of your rope? Do you feel ever like you're stuck in a pit of despair? Whether you have been in a pit, or whether you are in a pit right now, or whether you are going to be in a pit, I want to guide us all right now to the Psalms and Scripture. Specifically, we're going to be talking about Psalm 77 today. Psalm 77 is an intensely helpful and very important passage in Scripture when you are feeling like you are in despair, when you're feeling like you are in your own pit. So if you have your Bibles, I highly encourage you to turn to Psalm 77. You can listen to me right now read it, but it'd be very helpful if you could open it up and read along as I read. So Psalm 77, we're going to start off with the two first verses here in Psalm 77. And here's what it says. I cried out to my God with my voice, to my God with my voice. And he gave ear to me. And in the day of my trouble, I sought my Lord, and my hand was stretched out in the night without ceasing. And my soul refused to be comforted. That's despair right there. We can see right off the bat that the author of this psalm, who was probably David, he's in a lot of turmoil, and he's going through a huge trial. That much is clear. And I really appreciate how David is very straightforward. He's very honest. He's crying out to the Lord in the midst of his despair, and he's not hiding it, and he's not putting on some fake front. For anyone who has ever endured a trial or endured suffering or endured emotional pain or any other life difficulty, you can really relate to what it feels like to be emotionally spent and to be emotionally broken. Notice how David here says that he actually refused to be comforted. You know, sometimes the ordeal is so great, so heavy that we're going through, that in that moment it feels like there is nothing that can be said that will bring comfort to us. So I want us to take a moment, just a moment right now, and think of a time when you've been there. Maybe as you cried in the shower. Maybe as you broke down in your car on the way to work or on the way to school. Or maybe you went for a walk and grumbled and complained and cried out every single step of that walk. Those are some despairing moments, aren't they? You're not alone. And starting in verse 3 here, we see that David is going back to what I'll call the good old days for him, when he felt like he had a better handle on things. He's remembering what life felt like when it was a bit easier. And we can see that as he's going down in this downward spiral, he's trying to find something just to latch onto, just to cling onto, as he's falling deeper and deeper into depression. Let's go to verse 3. It says this: I remembered God and was troubled, and I complained, and my spirit was overwhelmed. You hold my eyelids open, and I am so troubled that I cannot even speak. I have considered the days of old, I considered the years of ancient times. And I call to remember my song in the night. I meditate within my heart, and my spirit makes diligent search. It's so interesting how traumatic life events often takes us back to our prime, to prime moments in our life. David seems to go back to the old days, but he's saying here those times seem so long ago, seem so far away. And now he feels like there's nothing but tears and heartache and distress in the night and he has no sleep even, no peace. And that brings us to verse 7 through 9 now, where David's feelings are cried out in six questions. He actually cries out six questions that he's trying to figure out as he's delving deeper into this pit, as he's going deeper into his depression right now. So starting with verse 7, here's the first question that David cries out. He says, "Will the Lord cast off forever?" It's hard not to have that feeling of being rejected by God in the middle of a trial, because we don't know when the end's coming, do we? We can't always see where the end of that hill is, or where the light at the end of the tunnel is. We don't know when it's going to end. Second question he cries out to the Lord. He says, "And will he be favorable no more? Will this trial ever end? Will there ever be good again in my life?" Third question David cries out, "Has his mercy ceased forever? Has God's love that isn't felt right now, will it ever return in my life? Will there ever be good?" Fourth thing David cries out, he says, "Has his promise failed forevermore? I thought God was never going to leave me. I thought God was never going to forsake me. So what is going on right now? Because it feels like he has." Fifth question, "Has God forgotten to be gracious? Has God's mercies run out for me?" And finally, the sixth thing David cries out, he says, "Has his anger shut his tender mercies?" Is God punishing us? Is God inflicting his wrath on me? Has God's unending promise ended? Has his unfailing love failed? This is some harsh stuff here, isn't it? So now, after asking himself all these questions, David has to figure out what he's going to do with it now. Where is he going to go with these feelings? Where does he go from here? Verse 10 starts out the same way as how he's been going so far. Verse 10 says, "This is my anguish." So he's still in this very dark place. And then something changes here. Look at the text. It says, "This is my anguish, but I will remember the works of my Lord. Surely I will remember your wonders of old. I will also meditate on all your work, and I will talk, I will speak of all your deeds." You see, David here somehow takes the attention off himself and what he's feeling, and he's going to remember who God really and truthfully is. His problem hasn't changed, but he's focusing on who the God of the universe is. You know, we do well to remember the past deeds of Christ when we are in the pit. We can remember Christ's history of love towards us, and that Jesus is going to continue to love us, not because of what we do or for what we accomplish or what we bring, but rather it's because of who Christ is since time began. Actually, since even before time began, he's been with us, and for what he did on the cross for all of us. We can remember how Christ even intercedes for us now. Just talking about that gives me goosebumps up and down my arms. We can meditate on all of God's mighty works and all of God's mighty deeds for us. because it's really easy to just dwell on the negative problems that are taking place right now, isn't it? But I encourage all of us to think of the many blessings we are still experiencing on a daily, moment-by-moment basis. You know, it's so important to think on God rather than ourselves when we're in that dark place, because rest assured, God is thinking about us. God's thinking about you and I. And we see here how David had a breakdown starting in verse 7 here of Psalm 77. And he kind of freaked himself out with how dark he got. And what he was accusing God of, we can see that he really didn't believe was true. It was not the truth in his heart and soul. That was despair talking. Have you ever been in a place where despair got a hold and was doing the thinking and talking for you? That's where David was. And now, I want us to look what happens between verse 12 and 13. We don't know how much time lapsed between those two verses, but the fact of the matter is clearly seen that David goes from darkness to light. Let's look at verse 13. Listen to the change. Your way, O God, is in the sanctuary. Who is so great a God as our God? You are the God who does wonders. You have declared your strength among the peoples. You have with your arm redeemed your people, the sons of Jacob and the sons of Joseph. The truth of the situation that David finds himself in is this. Despite the hell that he's going through, he is proclaiming that God's ways are holy. God's ways are without equal. God's power is visible for all of us to see. And that God is constantly and forever redeeming us on a moment-by-moment basis. That is the truth that David is proclaiming now through this trial that he's in. And I think that shows us we really have to get to a point in our faith journey with all of its bumps and with all of its detours and with all of its steps backwards at times, it feels like. We have to get to a point where we can honestly ask ourselves and examine, is God good? Is God excellent? Is God the best? You know, deep and great trials bring with them deep and great grace from God. Don't miss that point. I'm going to say it again. Deep and great trials bring with them deep and great grace from our Lord. When we go through trials, you know what we get more of? We get more of Jesus. So the trial, the affliction, that pit, that end of the rope, it's not fun, is it? But God's grace during those times at the end of our rope, in the middle of that pit, God's grace is intense and God's grace is profound, especially during those moments. So I encourage you right now to write down three distinct times that God has been good to you. Hopefully you can write down three things just this morning alone, but let's start off with writing down three times that you can look in your life where God has been there for you. And I want to encourage you to write it down, and I encourage you to spend time on it, and I encourage you also to put it in a place where you can see it. Because when the enemy comes knocking on your door, remember, as a Christian, The enemy will try to come knock, and he will try to make a lot of noise in your life. So have it in a place where you can see it when that happens. So long-term in the attack, long-term in that despairing feeling, we can grow bitter. We can be sour. We can get angry at God. And he can take those things. Or we can also realize that when we're afflicted, we can actually get closer to God. And we can learn to love Jesus more as he walks us through those times. So when was the last time you clung to Jesus Christ, your rock and your redeemer? When was the last time you did that? Or better yet, when was the last time during your dark night of the soul that you let Jesus Christ cling to you, hold you? That is real and truthful hope right there. So I'm telling myself and I'm telling all of you, don't be afraid to go to God with anything. Don't be afraid to come to his altar and pour out your heart to him wherever you're at. Don't be afraid to ask prayer from your pastors, from your church family, from other people in your life, from brothers and sisters in Christ. And remember, the end of your rope is God's address. The end of our rope is God's address. Let's hold on to that truth during these times. Let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you that you are a God who never changes. Thank you, Lord, that we can come to you however we are, wherever we're at, and you care about that, Lord. You don't turn away. You don't do an about face to us. In fact, Lord, you draw us closer during those times when we are in despair and when we feel like we're at the end of our rope. Thank you, Lord Jesus, that you are there during those times. Thank you that you hold us. And thank you for your never-ending truth, Lord. We can look back and see who you've been and the truth of who you are, Lord, in our lives and in our loved ones' lives and in this world. And we have the hope and the promise from you, Lord, and the faith in you that it's going to be like that in the future as well. Thank you, Lord, for that. I pray, Lord, that we don't feel like we have to put on a fake front. Lord, we are just called to have faith in you. And Lord, thank you for taking us through that one step at a time, one moment at a time. Lord, I pray that we each know that we do not have to go through this alone. Who said we had to go through it alone? We have you, and Lord, you use other people in our lives to walk us through that, to bring us closer to you, and to remember your truths. Thank you, Lord, for that reality and that blessing. May we never take for granted the things you've done for us, the things you're doing for us right now, and the things you've promised that you will do in the future. We thank you for that, Lord, and we love you. And in Christ's name we pray these things. Amen. Hey, thank you for joining me on this message. If this message really spoke to you and you'd love to chat about it, I would love a call from you. You can call me, you can text me, you can send me a message on Facebook, however you want to get a hold of me, and I'd love to chat with you on that, pray for you on that, and just walk together on this life journey with you. So have a wonderful day, and just remember that Christ is in control, we can count on him, and may we remember how he's with us always and forever. God bless.